hey, I'm a woodpecker and I'm ready to find some ladies. Hello everybody and welcome back to my podcast, Esme's Country Life. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about strange encounters at the gym, finding a missing dog, and also my riding confidence. So before we begin, I just want to say a huge thank you to the sponsor of the podcast, Redpost. Redpost is an equestrian and country store based in the UK, but they also ship all over the world. And I thought I'd tell you, because Safety Week is coming up, that is going to be April the 20th and April the 21st. So that's going to be Safety Weekend. There's going to be some great giveaways from Redpost and lots of other exciting things. So look out for that. Also, when you watch this episode, I will be in Florida. So I'm doing a little pre-recorded one for you all. So that is super fun. So I was going to say stay tuned. Look out for future episodes where I can tell you all about my USA adventure. But anyway, thank you again to Redpost for sponsoring the podcast. Also, in that safety weekend, you can get your helmets fitted, all that kind of stuff. So look out for that. Body protectors, all that fun stuff. Anyway, let's get into today's episode. So I thought we'd start off with strange encounters at the gym. I don't know what it is, but when me and my friend Lucy, when we go to the gym, actually, normally when I'm with my friend Lucy, we go swimming rather than to the gym because both of us love a good old chat. We're just those two people that when we come together, we just end up chatting away. So we thought, you know what? We'll go swimming. We'll have a little swim. We kind of go up and down. Sometimes I always get front crawl and breaststroke mixed up. The one where you look like a frog, is that front crawl? Breaststroke? No, breaststroke because you use your breast. I don't know. Anyway, probably not. But so we do that. And then sometimes you kind of like, we lay on our back and do, not butterfly. Butterfly is like the forward one, isn't it? I'm really not a swimmer. To be fair, I did swimming lessons from like baby swimming. Like, I've always absolutely loved swimming till basically I got to the stage where I was really good and they were like, we want you on the swim team, not to flex on you all, but I was like, I don't know, I'm not up for that competitive stuff and I don't want to swim like three times a week. I like my horses. I just, you know, did it for fun for a while because my brother still needed swimming lessons, so I was just in a group above him. But anyway, sorry, off topic. We're already off topic and we're only like not even probably 5 minutes into this episode, 3 minutes in. You guys know me. But anyway, back to swimming. Yeah, or I kind of lie on my back, kick my legs and then kind of like wave my arms. And I don't know what it is, but that is so good for my core. Normally, after I swim, I don't ache. But if I do that weird move, my legs and my core ache the next day. So it really is a workout. I guess it kind of feels a bit like, you know, when you do the plank and you're like really using your core and using all your muscles. So anyway, we love a good swim for like just half an hour, 45 minutes. To be fair, the other day, we were chatting and swimming for so long. It was about an hour had gone by and we were just like, oh my gosh, we're all like wrinkly like a little prawn or a prune. No, it's not a prawn, it's a prune, isn't it? Wrinkly like a prune. So we're like, we should probably get out. But the kind of swimming pool that we've recently been going to is a little bit more on the fancy side because I have some like gift vouchers from my family that I've been using, me and my friend. So anyway, often we go in the hot tub and then we go in like the sauna in the steam room for a little bit. Now, I don't know what it is, but every time we've ended up going in the hot tub, we've ended up just like chatting. We've just had some strange encounters with people. I don't know. Maybe we're just like a little bit more shy and reserved, but when you really think about it, sitting in a hot tub is a little bit like sitting in a bath, but also if there's like random people there as well, it's just a little bit awkward. Like you wouldn't just, you know, go to your mate's house and have a bath together, would you? But if it's in a hot tub, that's socially acceptable and not weird at all. I guess a hot tub's a little bit bigger, but you know, when there's quite a lot of people there as well and you're all like squished in a little bit and it's just like some random guy, it's just a bit weird. So anyway, we were like having like a full-on like chat conversation and then this lovely lady just came in and she ended up chatting to us. We had a great time, but sorry, she wasn't the weirdo, she wasn't the strange encounter at the gym. So anyway, after we went in the hot tub, we had a little chat, that kind of thing. That was really lovely. I feel like the gym or like going swimming or things like that is just like it's a place where you just end up chatting to random people. But anyway, we went in the sauna and it was just the two of us. We saw that some people had walked out and we're like, great, we'll nip in there for a bit. And I am one of those people where I cannot go in saunas for too long. If not, I do start to feel like a little bit lightheaded, which I know is not great. But it does feel quite nice, especially in the winter. I feel like us British people to be fair, in a lot of Scandinavian countries, they love their saunas. And I understand why, because it has been so windy, so wet, so rainy, so dark and cold over here. When I go in a sauna, I pretend I'm in a desert. I pretend I'm on a tropical island, living in paradise, somewhere nice and warm. And I can't lie, it does make you feel happy being, you know, in a bit of heat. So anyway, we went in there, have a little chat. And then these two dudes come in. And I feel like dudes is probably the correct word to describe them, because they were like, oh, do you like mint? And we thought, that's a bit of an odd, you know, random question just to, you know, out of the blue, meet somebody for the first time. But, oh, do you like mint? I was like, what else are you going to ask me? What my favourite ice cream flavour is? So anyway, he was like, oh, I got these like little essential oil mint drop things. And in a sauna, they have like the coals that obviously heat it up. So he dropped like a few on the coals. And oh my goodness, it felt like I was breathing in vapor rub. The mint smell, it was intense. And my poor friend Lucy, who has glasses, and a lot of the time when we are going swimming and she doesn't have her glasses on, I kind of have to help her walk around the pool because she just cannot see without them very well. So she was there like tears rolling down her face from this mint smell essential oils. And she was like, my eyes are burning. And it was that kind of awkward thing where, you know, when somebody walks in the sauna, you can't just walk straight out. If not, they're going to get offended and think, oh goodness, I've just walked in here and I've, you know, spoiled their sauna time, and they just want to, you know, go away. So we were just like there, and then they started talking to us. And when you're in like polite conversation with someone, you can't just be like, let's sack this off, let's just leave, let's just go. And then they just started talking about the weirdest stuff. And me and my friend was just in this sauna in this small hot room with two men in swimming trunks, and we were just like, what is going on? Like, I don't know, it's just a weird thing when you really deep it down and really think about it. So we escaped, we managed to survive, our eyeballs did not burn off, so that is all good. But yeah, I just thought, I was just really thinking how strange it is going to like a little sauna, just talking to random people half naked in a sauna and in a hot tub. But we had a lovely time. And then the night had, it got even weirder. I didn't think it could get any weirder, but it did. So my friend Lucy dropped me home. And about like 2 minutes later, I got a call from her. And I was like, is everything okay? And I thought, oh, maybe she's, you know, there's this really bad pothole on my road, and it's got so bad that somebody has put a cone in it, and like almost half of the traffic cone is in the hole. It is so deep. Now, my car is a big old 4x4, so when the hole pothole first kind of occurred, it was fine. I just went over it, you know, lovely jubbly, round over I go, don't feel a thing. In my old car, that would not have been the case. And then in my car, I got to the stage where I was like, oh, maybe I should slow down a little bit more. And now, even in my big old 4x4, I have to like go down to like 1 mile an hour. I go round at a proper snail's pace, especially as there's a big old cone in there as well. But it is lethal. So I thought, oh my gosh, my poor friend has probably got stuck in that hole. This was before the cone was in it. And no, she had stopped because there were two dogs that had run out in front of her car and then were just chasing her car. And obviously, number one, she was freaking out because she was like, oh my gosh, somebody has lost their dog. They've lost their children. And then she was also freaking out because she was like, oh my gosh, these dogs are running around and I don't want to hit them. So she rang me up being like, Ez, do you know if any of your neighbours have dogs? And I was like, is it a Jack Russell? And she was like, no. And I was like, well, I don't know whose dogs they are then. So anyway, one I think was I'm pretty sure they were like farm dogs or sheep dogs or collies. And she sent me a photo of it and I was like, I don't know. And then she tried to check the collar, but the tag had fallen off the collar. And she was calling me. She's like, Esme, I'm going to keep you on the phone because I'm going to knock on people's houses. And in case they kidnap me or take me in or are mean to me, I want you to be on the phone to come and rescue me. And I was like, okay. So I was on the phone to my friend for probably about like almost half an hour as this like kind of scene took place, as everything kind of came across. So she first went to one house, knocked on the door, and just nobody answered. And she could see the guy in his house watching the telly, like he had his curtains open, and he was just ignoring her. And she thought, well, maybe he thinks that I'm some like cold caller or trying to like sell him something or push some views on him, I don't know. So then she went to the other house and she knocked on their door, nobody was in. And then the guy came out and he thought that she was his wife that had come back from something or other. And she was like, I'm really sorry that I'm parked on your drive and you don't know who I am, but do you know who these dogs belong to? And then she was like, do I put the dogs in the car? Luckily, the guy knew who the dogs belonged to. And then I was going to go down to their house and be like, hey, come and pick up your dog. Because Lucy didn't want to leave this dog on her own. And this dog was absolutely caked in mud, filthy, right? Been running around the fields and the puddles and the rain. She was like, I don't know if I can fit this dog in my car because she's got quite a small car. But anyway, luckily, the owners came. They picked up the dog. It was all good. And they were like proper kind of like farm dogs as well. So they're used to like roaming around, but I think they must have just got out somehow. So there we go. That was the story of the missing dog, which I thought was quite interesting because, you know, that doesn't really happen on your average Tuesday night or whatever. So there we go. That was the missing dog story. Also, I have some really exciting news for any of you all that have a smart Samsung TV. Now, if you go onto the apps and you go onto like the free apps or free channels, if you go on there, you can see that they have a Horse and Country one. Now, you can actually watch Horse and Country for free on your smart Samsung TV. So go and check it out. They have so many incredible shows. And obviously, if you love all things horses and all things country, which hopefully you do if you listen to the podcast, be sure to go and check out Horse and Country. And thank you so much to Horse and Country for sponsoring this section of the podcast. Anyway, on to my next little story for you all. Now, I'm actually quite proud of this story, which it probably most people will be like, Esme, why are you so proud of this? But like most people could probably figure this out. But as a girl who lives on her own, a lot of the time you're going to come across things where you're like, oh my goodness, how does that work? How do I fix this thing? And I just don't understand. I don't know how people survived before the internet, because the amount of things I have had to search up, which doesn't sound that interesting. But for example, this is just like a little thing. But when I first started, you know, living on my own, just little things like, can I put Tupperware in the dishwasher? Will it melt? I don't know, just searching stuff like that. But anyway, the other day, I was doing my washing. Sorry, I promise this isn't a boring story. I was doing my washing, putting all my clothes in my washing machine, was ready to go. And then my washing machine would not turn on. And I was thinking, now, in this situation, normally I would just be like, I'm going to ring my dad. I'm going to ring my dad. He can fix it. He can sort it out. He's good at fixing things. I have not got that life experience under my belt of fixing multiple things. And I just thought to myself, there's this audio on TikTok and it's like, how hard can it be? Boys do it. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to fix this I'm going to fix this washing machine myself. So I did some searching. I was like, why is my washing machine not turning on? Then I realized there was like a little key symbol on my washing machine. I was like, I tried slamming the door. I tried giving it a little magic tap and that wasn't working. I thought, oh, maybe it's like the locking system. It's just not shut properly. So I really, you know, gave it a good old push. That wasn't it. And then I thought, oh, maybe the button's not working. Maybe I need to press the button in a slightly different way. That wasn't working. So I did a little search. And then the child lock had turned on my washing machine, which I think I probably did by accident by leaning my bum on it because it is in my kitchen. I feel like that's such a strange thing to have compared to like some countries. Like I know in America, most people have like a full-on laundry room or they have like their washing machines in their basement. I was going to say most people don't have basements in the UK. I have like if you've seen that video on my channel where I go into a hole that's in the floorboards of my house, which I'm not going to say it's a basement because you can't stand up in it, but I think it's like a wine cellar kind of weird storage area under my house. Anyway, why am I talking about basements? I don't know what I've got. Oh yeah, washing machines. So anyway, I live in like a tiny cute little cottage. So my washing machine, the only place for it is in a kitchen, which I feel like is a very European thing. So every now and again, I'll accidentally lean my bum on my washing machine or my dishwasher or my tumble dryer, and it'll beep at me and it'll make me jump because I'm such a jumpy person. So I must have accidentally activated the child lock with my bum cheeks. So anyway, I decided to search it up, and I thought hit the jackpot, know how to fix my washing machine. And then I tried that, didn't work, and I thought I'm a few steps away from calling my dad, but I'm not gonna give up. I'm going to push through. I'm going to do this. And I managed to tell you what, I feel really bad saying this because it's my least favorite social media platform, but TikTok was where it helped me out. That was not Google. It was TikTok. So anyway, I found some sort of thing on I needed to press the buttons differently to deactivate the child lock. But I managed to fix my washing machine. I managed to wash my clothes because I had an item of clothing in there that I really wanted to wear, but it had a stain on. And I was like, no, I need to wash it. So there we go. That is my interesting story for you. And then after that, I thought, you know what? I'm a genius. Not really, but I've got a Nintendo Switch. And I've been it's one of those things that I've been needing to connect it to my TV for so long, and I haven't been able to do it because you have to connect it to like an HDMI kind of thing, and I needed to set that up, and my cable wasn't working, or my dock wasn't working. Anyway, I managed to fix it, I managed to get it working, and I was like, yes. I've just felt so powerful. I was like, I can do anything with the power of Google in my hand. I can do anything. So there we go. Don't give up. If it's something really silly and small like that, don't give up, because I'm like, again, if boys do it, how hard can it be? So that was my little story for you all. Next up, I thought I would do a little bit of an update on my horse, Joey, because whenever I do meet and greets, whenever I see you guys, you always love to hear about how he's doing, especially as at the end of last year, he had a very horrible injury. He was in hospital for over 3 weeks. But anyway, he's back in action. He's fully healed. We're almost back to where we were before his injury, and he is doing so well at the moment. However, I went through a little bit of a confidence knock once again. I think it's because we had quite a lot of time off. Like, he was doing so well before his injury. We had some time off. And also, I always joke that with horses, they get the JFMs, which is the January, February, Marches, especially if you're in the Northern Hemisphere. Southern Hemisphere, you guys are groovy. You're having a great time in the sun. But over here, when the weather is horrible, it's just something gets into the horses. They're just a little bit more difficult, a little bit more wild. But anyway, he has been hoof perfect recently. He has been so well behaved. He is so happy as well. Like, when he was on box rest, he just wasn't his happy, normal Joey. But now he's back, I can just tell how much he loves jumping. We're jumping twice a week now. We've been recently having lots of lessons with my instructor, Felicity, where he's been going so well. He's just so happy and is just like jumping out of his skin. He's just doing so well. But and we've also been doing arena hires. Now, what I hadn't realized is, because as I've been bringing Joey back into jumping and back into work, I hadn't really jumped him without it being a lesson. And my instructor Felicity, she is awesome, she is incredible. However, I feel like I was using her a little bit as my safety net. She was kind of there to hold my hand, and when I went and took him to arena hire on my own without her there, I don't want to say I freaked out, but I didn't ride my best. And I think that's because I think it was all down to confidence. It was nothing to do with my ability as a rider or jumping. And it really made me realize how much of horse riding is really down to like you mentally. Like, if you're not in the zone, if you're not concentrating, if you let your concentration down for a little bit, it just all goes south. It all goes downhill. So, in my lessons, it's fine. Like, if she's like, you need to hold him a bit more around this corner, you need to put your leg on a little bit more, I just felt like, because she was there, she could tell me what to do. She could see things before they, I don't want to say went wrong, but she could like help me out a little bit. When this, I felt like I had no safety net. I was diving out on my own. And Joey, bless him, he was so good. So we took him to this arena hire. It was hailing. When I tell you, it sounded like somebody was chucking a million golf balls on the roof of this indoor arena. And he was so good, so, like, just, he was obviously, like, a little bit pepped up. Like, he had his little happy step. He had, like, if he was a dog, he would be wagging his tail. But he was just so happy, and he was obviously a little bit excited as well, because he was like, ooh, it's someone we haven't been, like, in ages. I've only been here, like, once or twice. Woohoo, let's go. And obviously he saw all the jumps as well, and he was like, ooh, we're jumping too, even better. So he was, like, really good. And when I was jumping him, I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was just the striding to this fence, but I could not see a stride for my life. I buried him into it. He was like, he still went over it and cleared it. And afterwards he squealed at me and threw his back legs in the air. And that's his way of being like, girl, you need to sort yourself out because you are riding like a sack of potatoes. I don't know why I went into an American accent there, but anyway, I feel like that's, I don't think that's how Joey would talk as a British horse who is a boy. But we move. I feel like whenever anybody British tells a story and they do a voice for someone, we just always do an American accent, like it's a thing. And I feel like Americans probably do that, but do like a British accent or like a different accent. So there we go. Anyway, so he was like, girl, what are you doing? So I took a deep breath, calmed myself down because I was rushing. I wasn't like in the zone. I had a lot on my mind and I was like, okay, we're going to reset. We're going to go round. We're going to do it again. And we did it really well. And I was so proud of him. And I know that he can jump these jumps. And for some reason, I just could not see a stride. And with show jumping, you have days like that. And that is okay. So if you are having a little period where you're going through a little blip and you're like, oh my gosh, I cannot see any strides. The strides are gone. Don't worry. We'll go through it. And I think the piece of advice that helped me most with my show jumping, which I think I've said quite a few times before, but to make it less complicated with show jumping, if you're going forward and you're straight to the jump, you're halfway there. You're almost there. So I took that advice on and I gave ourselves some time, and he was so good. And we went there again a week later, and I almost backed out of not going because I have a lot going on in my life right now. And I was like, I don't know if mentally I'm going to be up for this. I really thought, you know what, I don't want to take Joey there and me to like not be in the zone because my brain is on other things and stressing out. And I was like, I don't know if I want to take him there and then we lose all our confidence and before I go away to Florida and then it's all poo and then I won't be able, and then the whole time I'm away, I'll be like, oh, our last ride was, or last show jumping was so bad. But I went, all of my negative thoughts and stress and things in my personal life, I just put in a little box, left it in the horse box. I feel like that's a good like anecdote, like a good like little phrase, like I'm just gonna leave my brain, well, not my brain, I do need that for show jumping, but I'm gonna leave all of my bad thoughts and everything else in my life. I'm gonna put a little box in the horse box or in the trailer. I'm gonna leave it there. That is gone. Once I'm on that horse, here's my priority, here's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about my riding. So went in there and, you know, I'm not gonna big myself up, but we went in there and we bossed it. There was maybe one jump where I was like, whoops, that was a little bit of a hairy mistake. Whoopsie, sorry, Joey. But apart from that, oh my gosh, he's feeling so good. Like looking back at the footage, you'll be able to see it if you go on my Insta that I did like a little ASMR Joey motorbike noise. Actually, it sounds more like a motorboat, I'd say. Like somebody commented, and oh, this made me smile so much because it was just so cute. Somebody said he snorts by counting his like strides, because like he like snorts as he does the strides. But also somebody also said a lot of horses like hold their breath over the jump, so you could hear him like snort, snort, snort as he was cantering along, and then like no snort as he like lifted off up over the jump. And looking back, I'm like, we could have put those jumps up way more and he would have been so capable and he would have pinged them. But because I was in a little bit of a rocky place, I was like, you know what, I just want to have a good time, I want to have a confident time. We worked on our related distances as well, which is something that we really needed to work on. So I was like, we're going to leave it small but technical, come back with smiles on our faces and have a happy, happy, positive ride. And then once I'm back from Florida, we're going to bump them up, we're going to get back to where we were, we're gonna boss it. So that is that is my show jumping story slash how my confidence is going. So I'm feeling pretty good now, but it's okay if you go through a little blip. I think also Joey, because he is feeling so good since he's come back, one of my instructor D was like, maybe he should have a winter holiday next year and have some time off. She's like, obviously not on purpose. We don't want him to injure himself again, because it's been like two winters in a row where he's just had time off. So I don't know. I don't know if he will go more wild if he does have time off, because he'll be like stir crazy. Obviously, he'll be out in a field living like a happy horse life. But I don't know if he'll be like, I need to jump to get this excitement out of me, because I don't want him to go and hurt himself again. But you know, it did do him some good having a bit of a chilled time, because he's come back strong, buzzing, absolutely loving life. So, but also Joey feels very different to ride, in the sense where he's feeling so much stronger, so much, he's just so, like, he is so bold at the moment. He's just, even if I gave him a dodgy stride, he was like, don't worry mum, I'll help you out, I'll get over it, it'll be fine. So bless him, that horse has a heart of gold. I'm so, so lucky to have him, and he's been absolutely amazing. So just very, very, feeling very, very grateful for him at the moment. So yeah, well done, Joey. Thought I would do a little bird update for you all, because you might know that we've recently taken in some rescue chickens, and they are honestly doing... Oh, my jaw clicked then. Goodness, I don't know if you heard that. A lot of you guys might know that when I do lots of meet and greets, my jaw gets really bad because I do so much like smiling. You probably think, God, Esme, you must be so miserable if you'd like barely smile throughout your day. But, oh, did it again. God, I should really get that checked out. And, oh no, sorry, I really hope any of you aren't squeamish, because I feel like it's not like the sort, you know, when people click their fingers, like even I find that like, oh no, gives me the heebie-jeebies. But anyway, sorry, back to the chickens. The chickens are doing really well. They're starting to get like fatter. So they're starting to, you know, just get a little bit bigger. Their combs are getting darker and look more healthy. They've seen some sunlight, and they're getting a little bit more like feathery, and they're getting less bald, because a lot of them do have bald patches. Their personalities are starting to come out a little bit more as well. And they know when it's feed time as well, like when we give them their corn and stuff like that, because we have like a little chicken bowl slash buckety kind of thing. And at first it was really sad, because when we ran over, Mars, obviously the chicken that we originally had, she knew what this bowl meant. She would always, you know, come and say hi and be like, oh my gosh, it's food time, everybody. Let's go and get the food. But now all the other chickens are like, oh my gosh, it's food time. Let's go. It's my favorite thing, seeing all the little chickens just run over. It's just the cutest thing, and they're all so happy, and they're just like, oh my gosh, it's the food lady. So yeah, they're all doing really well. They're laying, because one thing that we were a little bit worried about is that they wouldn't lay when we first got them. Not because like we care about that, like we're just happy to take in these chickens, we don't care how many eggs they lay, but more because a lot of the time they stop for a little bit because they've been through so much stress of moving and being somewhere different and new and getting used to their new environment and home. But they've all been doing really well. There was one at first that was a little bit, we were like touch and go on if it was okay, because it just sat in the corner, didn't really do much. When the others, you know, they'd be pecking about, scratching the floor. When this one was just, I don't know, it was probably in shock. It was the smallest, scraggliest, scrawniest one, but she seems to be all right now. She's getting there. She's doing her thing. And we had the sun come out the other day, which was like, all of us were just like, oh my goodness, spring is here. Like, we walked to the pub the other day. We sat out in the pub garden. I just had like a lemonade, but still, like, we didn't have like a big old pub lunch or anything, but just to be sitting outside in the sun. We were sitting around and we were like, if anybody in like a warm country saw us, they would think that we had something wrong with us, because they would be like, it was like 10 degrees, but because it was sunny, it felt like so much like spring. We were just like, yes, we need to sit outside and enjoy the outdoors. When if you were in like a warm country, you would be wrapped up with a hot chocolate under a duvet being like, no, thank you, that is freezing. So we just thought that was quite funny. Also a little bit of a bird update. I always forget how, like, whenever people come around to my house, they always comment on, number one, how quiet it is, but also how noisy it is at the same time. Because it's quiet as in, like, it is literally in the middle of nowhere. You can't hear any cars, any traffic, any other, like, civilization. It's, like, on this, like, dead point. You're, like, you wouldn't know where you are in the world. But it's noisy in the sense where there is just a lot of birds where I live. And one thing that makes it feel really spring-like is every morning when I wake up in my bed, I can hear the woodpeckers because they do their like little pecking into the trees. And I think, is it a mating thing, isn't it, when they do it? Maybe it's to get little worms and bugs in it, but I'm pretty sure they do it in the spring as it's like a, hey, I'm a woodpecker and I'm ready to find some ladies. But anyway, I feel like that clip is going to be taken out of context. Maybe I'll add that to the beginning of the podcast. You guys absolutely love when I do like the beginning of the podcast. It's just random things that are just out of context. But anyway, so that's really cute. But also as I go to bed, I can hear, we have loads of owls where we are as well. So I feel like I'm in Harry Potter. I can just hear all these owls going twit twoo. That's not a very good owl impression, but there we go. So anyway, there's just a lot of sort of bird noise. And I think that's one thing that I always think makes me feel like spring is around the corner, is when you can hear the birds. Because in the winter, when it's windy and rainy, those birds aren't tweeting. They're like, I'm just going to be in my nest, curled up. I don't really know what birds do in the winter. Actually, most of them, they go off to Africa. They're like, bye, UK. You are rubbish right now. I don't care. I'm going to fly thousands of miles to get some sun because I tell you what, here, it's not good enough. So anyway, some birds, I don't know if the birds that go to Africa are back, but, or the swallows, but they're not quite yet. I'll keep you updated. We actually have some swallows and they come and nest in the horse's stables every single year. And they it's the same ones, they come back. Like they know that birds are so clever. If I was dropped off in the middle of Africa somewhere, I wouldn't know my way back to where I live. So there we go. Anyway, yeah, that is my bird update. The birds are doing well. Also, I need to tell you about the pheasants. Whenever people come to my parents' house or my house, they're like, you literally live in, you're like Snow White, all these creatures, all these animals just everywhere. Because my mum loves feeding the birds and there have been so many pheasants. I feel like we need to name them because our lockdown pheasant sounds so sad. We just like name all these wild animals where we live. We had, I think it was Peter and Percival the pheasant, because we were trying to think of weird names beginning with P. If your name is Peter or Percival, please don't take it personally, but we're trying to think of like posh names because I feel like pheasants, if you don't know what a pheasant is, please look up what a pheasant looks like, because for me they just look like old men in tweed jackets. They look like they have like a little white collar, they look kind of fancy. So anyway, because there was Percival, who was like the little scrawny one, and then there was big old Peter, and they would always like try and get these ladies. We had like 10 pheasant ladies one year, and they were both trying to, you know, get their birds and everything. So one of the pheasants actually went over near the chickens. So Mars is like the top chicken leader, and I would describe her as a bit of a girl boss, because she, when they're like out free range and we put a bit of corn down, a bit of layers pellets or whatever they eat, she will defend her food. If that's from the other chickens, if that is from the magpies. And anyway, one of the male pheasants came strutting over, just, you know, he was having a look around like, what's going on here? Got any food for me? And she defended herself. She chased off a pheasant. She is one hard chicken. So there we go. That is my bird update fuel. Yeah, so that's what's been going on recently in my life. Again, as you guys are listening to this, I'm going to be in Florida, so expect lots of interesting Floridian podcasts. I'm sure I'm going to embarrass myself or have some interesting stories to tell you all. But anyway, thank you so much, everybody, for listening to today's episode of Esme's Country Life. If you have a Samsung TV, be sure to go and check out Horse and Country. And also, thank you so much again for them for sponsoring that section, and also to Red Post for sponsoring the podcast. I really hope you enjoyed it, and I'll see you all next time. Bye!